It's funny, the things that will embarrass us, make us feel a little ashamed. You know, dads, we're real good at that. We're embarrassing our families, our kids. You know, first they grow up and they think, oh, mom and dad, they're best. Then they get into those teen years, you know, and suddenly, you can go over there. You can stand back a little bit. We find ourselves oftentimes thinking about things that we want to avoid, we want to stay away from. One of the things that we are not to be ashamed of is the gospel. We're told this in several times. This is something, kind of a theme of Paul. He says it in Romans, and he says it to Timothy. As he's encouraging Timothy in his work and his ministry, he said, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of what you do. Don't be ashamed of your message. Don't be ashamed of what you're trying to accomplish. And I think as we wrap up this letter in this last chapter, chapter 4, there are some things for us. Even though our ministries may look different than Timothy's, there are things that we need to make sure that we're unashamed of. Now, Timothy's ministry was to preach and teach in Ephesus, to pass along what he had learned from Paul, to strengthen the church, to counter false teachers. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you are to have a ministry as well. What does it mean when we talk about a ministry? Well, that word, let's talk about that word minister for a moment. That word minister in the original language means to serve. It's a servant. And so a ministry is merely a point of service. It's where you are serving, what you are doing. And it's going to look different for different people, according to your spiritual gifts, the passions, the things that you're kind of excited about, interested in, your abilities, your personality, your experiences. All those things will kind of create a unique shape for you of what serving will look like. Some ministries happen on Sunday morning. You know, we have the folks who get up here on stage that you will see. But we also have people at the cameras. We have people up in the sound booth. We have people who serve coffee, who welcome folks. We have children's programs and people who are working there. And you go on tonight, we have our teen ministries, and we have different people serving there. And throughout the week, we have people doing different things like leading small groups and a number of folks who are involved in ministries outside of the church area, ministries that, you know, that seek to minister to practical, emotional needs that folks have. So it all looks a little bit different. But I want you to do a gut check for just a moment. I want you to ask yourself a hard question. Where am I serving? What is my ministry? What am I doing? When was the last time you were involved in serving in some form or fashion? Why is that important? Because serving is not just, you know, filling in roster spots. It's not just helping out other people. Serving, ministering, is about your own discipleship. It is a part of the discipleship process, the part of growing up in Jesus, a part of your spiritual formation. And here's what we need to see, and this is hard to hear, it's hard for us to think about, but if you're not serving, you're stunting, limiting your own spiritual growth. This summer, or this August, we are going to do a series called This Is Us. You know, as we kind of, after this pandemic and more folks are coming back, we just want to revisit. You know, who are we? What is our faith? What is our structure? What's our mission, our vision, our values? What are we all about here? And included in that is going to be, we want to talk about where are our opportunities for serving. So I'm going to ask you, between now and then, begin praying and asking yourself, how can I serve? Now, there's one thing right away that you could help us out, you could be involved in, that you can serve. It's a simple thing. You'll see in your program, and also if you're watching online, if you check the email we sent out today, there's a link there, but in the program is an insert. We have our Back to School Bash coming up July 31st. And there are a number of ways you can help, either helping us get prepared, help us on that day, help us clean up afterward, whatever kind of works for you and fits in there. But take a look at that and see if there is an opportunity, if you're going to be around during that time frame, that you can help us do this, because it's a real practical way. But as we think about Timothy's ministry, and we think about our own, let's see what Paul says about how we are to serve, some of the things that we need to bring into play. He says this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and dead, in view of his appearing, I give you this charge. Now, let's pause on that verse for just a moment. Because notice what he's saying. There is coming a moment of accountability. Paul puts us in with a lot of the things that he teaches about. And he says, you know, we have to have a view to the fact that Jesus is coming back. There is a time of giving answer for how we live the lives that we lived. It may not be an issue of salvation or not, but there is discussion about rewards and how we live going forward. So ask yourself this as we're going forward. Think about this. Now here's Timothy's. This is Timothy's ministry. It's not everybody's ministry, but he says this, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Whatever you're doing, preaching, teaching, facilitating a small group, welcoming people, making coffee, whatever it might be, we need to keep it about Jesus. Whatever we're doing, we need to understand we are trying to make it about Jesus. A good way to see yourself in this is that there are people who are far from God, and we want to help them to know God. We want to introduce them to Jesus. And each of us is often a link in a chain leading from there to here. And you may think, well, if you look at just a single link of a chain, it may not be all that impressive. You may not see a big difference. But that link is important for the strength of the chain, and it is important for us as we help people know. You may be the first person that someone ever meets, and just your warm smile, your welcoming spirit may be the thing that helps people go a little bit further, check it out a little bit more. You may be that last person that helps somebody walk along across that line of faith. We're all a link in this chain. And we need to make sure that whatever we're doing, we are keeping it about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is at the heart of the good news. He is the good news. He wasn't just a proclaimer of it. Jesus is the central part of our faith. His death, burial, and resurrection is where our hope lies. He was God in the flesh. And he now dwells at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He is at the heart of our gospel. And we want to introduce people to him so he can begin to work in their lives. It's not up to us to change people, to transform people. That's the work of the Spirit in cooperation with the Word. Our job is to help introduce people to Jesus. So as we think about the various ways that we serve, understand we need to make sure we're keeping it about Jesus, and understand that it is our role to make that happen. It's what we're doing. He goes on. Verse 5 says, but you, speaking to Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. What's he telling Timothy? Follow through. Keep it up. Serving is not always easy. There are often problems to solve. Sometimes there are conflicts to resolve. And it can be tempting to give up, to quit before the work is done. but we need to make sure that we are following, that we are going all the way. Now, let me say this. I think this is important. I understand seasons change in people's lives. And sometimes we have a ministry, a particular point and place and season in our life. And that season may come to an end, and that ministry may change and come to an end. But here's the thing. Sometimes when that happens, we just stop altogether and don't go on to the next thing. And that's what we want to make sure we do. If you're in a new season of life, and you can look back and say, I used to do that. Okay. And you might say, well, the thing I used to do doesn't even exist now, as an opportunity. Okay, that happens. Churches change. Churches are like rivers. You don't step in the same one at any time. It's always different. There's always new people. Different things are changing. And how we do stuff and who we're ministering to and different points. So ask yourself as you go along, okay, I used to do this, but what can I do now? Where's that next place? I understand that sometimes health figures in there. We can't do what we did before. Sometimes age and change is, you know, some people say, I can't get down on the floor with those little ones in the nursery anymore. It's understandable. But I've got a sad truth for some of you. It's going to be ready for it. There are no retirees in the kingdom of God. Some of you have retired. You stopped. But there's still stuff to be done. There's still work to be done. There's still a role you have to play. You may need to find it, but find it. He goes on to say this, for I am being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul is writing this from prison. And he knows his execution is coming. Tradition tells us that Paul was beheaded by Nero. Or at his command. What he is essentially saying here is what he has started, Timothy and others will need to continue. He said, look, guys, I've done my part. I've ran my race. You're going to have to take this up. Last week, we talked about the importance of exchanging the baton, handing it off. Here's the question for each of us this morning. Are we ready to take the baton? Paul is saying, Timothy, my race is run. I'm going to have to hand it off to you and to others. We have to ask ourselves, are we going to take up this baton? Are we going to carry it forward? Whatever that might look like. Now, keep this in mind. One of the things that we want to do as we do ministry is make sure you have somebody learning with you, from you, serving alongside with you, so you can hand that baton off to them when that time comes. Paul would have no one to hand this off to if he hadn't brought people along with him in his faith, in their faith, and served alongside with them. Watched him so that now he can do it. So ask yourself, and particularly if you're serving in some way now, do you have somebody serving with you, learning from you? Not so necessarily so that you can retire, but maybe there's a new ministry for you and a branch of it, and you can hand it off to someone else. But each of us needs to ask ourselves, are we willing, when the baton is handed to us, to take it? In verse 9 and following, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come back, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. I love all this kind of just practical stuff here. And you say, can't he just run down to the local emporium and get a new cloak? No. One of the things about prison, the Romans didn't keep you in prison as a punishment. They simply kept you in prison until your trial was over and you were either set free or you received your punishment. And you had to get taken care of by somebody. He needs a cloak. For whatever reason, maybe he's just cold. He's like, I need something extra here. But catch what he says. One person has abandoned him. Three others have moved to minister in other places. And Paul needs a team around him. It's a reminder that serving can be lonely. And it's best if we serve as a part of a team effort. That it's not, we're not just on our own. Now, I know some of you introverts, that makes you a little nervous. Find another introvert. Work together. It could be just two of you, three of you, but something happens. We have strength, we have encouragement, we have better ideas when we work and minister together as part of a team. So as you think about that, maybe there as we will give you information, and I said this coming August, think about a place, a group of people that are already serving, you can join alongside, or you can grab some new people and say, let's do ministry. I see a need. Let's go meet that need. Let's do it together. He says, Alexander, the medical worker, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Take this one to heart. You need to be prepared for obstacles. There's nothing said about doing ministry when we do it in the name of Jesus that everything will be easy. Even having the Lord with us, when we don't, obstacles will still be there and you need to be prepared for them. If you stop because there's an obstacle in front of you, what are you going to do? What happens? But that's one of the great things about serving with people with a team, because as a team, sometimes you can get through those obstacles, you can get through those hurdles better than you can on your own. Think about Paul. Think of the things that happened to Paul. Here was a guy, he has a miraculous encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said that, you know, he had revelation to help him understand the gospel from Jesus. That the reason he could call himself an apostle, because he had time with Jesus. And yet, think about all the things that happened to him. He's whipped. He's stoned, you know, with rocks. He's run out of town. He's in prison. He's shipwrecked. He's gone hungry. He's been in danger from bandits and wild animals. He had obstacles. Obstacles are not telling you, they're not telling you that God is not with you. There will just be obstacles because we still work in this world, and this world is broken and fallen, and there are things that we have to overcome. But there's just some kind of great encouragement, some sense of victory that we have when we do overcome those things. Now look at this as he wraps this up. He says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely, notice this, to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Notice what Paul is saying. He's like, He's not saying, I'm going to walk out of this jail and I'm just going to go wherever because the Lord's going to see me through. He's saying, no, the Lord will see me safely to his presence. To live as Christ, to die as gain, he said. And here's what he tells us. We need to learn to lean on the Lord. When we're doing ministry and it's hard, we need to lean on the Lord. When we're doing ministry and it's going really well, we still need to lean on the Lord. And what does it mean to lean on him? Let me give you, if you've ever held a small child, even a toddler, and you know the difference between when they're just trying to do their own thing, they don't really want to be held, they just kind of want to do whatever, see whatever, get down, and it's just a constant kind of battle, versus when they just give up that struggle, maybe you just fall asleep, and all their weight comes on you. What is happening there? That's trust. They are trusting you. This is what he's saying. Put all your weight on Jesus. Trust him. Now, let me say, let's step aside for a minute away from the whole ministry thing and just talk about life. Some of you may be just going through some stuff right now that is hard. It's frustrating. It may be happening at work. It may be happening under your home. It may be happening with friends, but life is just hard right now. And you're tired. And Jesus says, put your weight on me. Lean into me. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. But oftentimes we're not resting because we're still busy trying to do it on our own. Got a granddaughter right now. When she's awake and going, I do it, I do it, I do it. But then there comes a moment when she's done and she just collapses into you. A lot of you, you're like, I do it, I do it, I do it, I'm going to do it. And Jesus said, just come rest in me. I want you to just think for a moment. I want you to kind of help visualize. I want you to just realize that next to you is Jesus. Because he said, wherever two or more are gathered, he's here. Will you just look and just acknowledge that he's here? His Holy Spirit is here with us. Even when we're not here, if you're sitting on your couch, he's there. And here's what I want you to say. I want you to practice this. This may help you and give you encouragement. Just simply say this to remind yourself that he's with you. Thank you for being with me. Let's practice that together. Let's just say it out loud. Thank you for being with me. Let's say it again. Thank you for being with me. If you're watching at home, say it. Thank you for being with me. And not just here. When you go home, when you're tired, when you're frustrated, say thank you for being with me. Because it's in those moments we feel alone. And that's what Paul says. I was deserted by everyone, but the Lord stood with me. And if you feel deserted by everyone, by everything going on in your life right now, he's saying the Lord wants to stand by you. Can you acknowledge his presence in your life? And say, thank you for being with me. When you want to grumble and complain and over everything that's going on, why not try this? Let's just say thank you for being with me. Remind yourself of that, of his presence, of his love. You may say, Lord, if you were here with me, I wouldn't have any obstacles. That's a lie. He is with us even in the obstacles. He is with us in those spaces that feel hard and exhausting. But he's with us. Our job is to remember it. And one way that we remember it is to say to ourselves over and over again, thank you for being with me. Whether you feel opposed or you have obstacles that feel just too large, you're frustrated, You're exasperated. You're exhausted. Put your full weight on Jesus. When you're lying in bed and you can't shut your mind off, or you've woken up in the morning, I can do this. I can fall asleep pretty quick, but if I wake up at all, the brain is going. Try this. Just say, thank you for being with me. Help me just to put my full weight on you like I'm putting it on this mattress. Help me, Lord, to just lean on you. It's hard to lean on the Lord if we don't know the Lord, know much about him, know his promises. I encourage you. Make time. It's not going to come to you. It's not just going to show up serendipitously and say, hey, here's some time. You've got to claw it out of your schedule and say, I'm going to make some time to pray and to read scripture and pray some more. And I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk to him. I'm just going to capture that time. And as I'm doing it, I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. When we take communion, we have in that bread and in that little cup of juice reminders, images for us of Jesus' presence with us. I know you look at a little piece of bread that we're using right now, and those prepackaged containers, and I've gotten feedback that doesn't taste very good. Folks, it's supposed to remind you of the body of Christ. It's not supposed to be savory, okay? When you take those things, just say thank you. Thank you for what you did on the cross. And thank you now for being with me. As you learn and try to find a place to serve, as you continue to serve, thank him for being with you. Whatever you're facing, acknowledge his presence. And right now, in this time of communion, acknowledge his presence with you and ask him to help you lean your full weight on him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that we have these hopes, that we have these promises, that as we go through this journey of faith, we are not alone. That we have you with us wherever we go. We look to your word to learn about Jesus. We look to your word to see what a life of following you looks like. But we also want to acknowledge your presence in our lives, giving us strength, using your word to teach us, embolden us, guide us. Lord, I thank you for Paul and the letters that he wrote. I thank you for Timothy, how he continued. And I thank you for all those generations of people who took the baton and passed it down. And I thank you for this generation here. Help us, Father, to take up the baton, run our race, fight our fight, keep the faith. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.